This illustration just came to me as I was listening to the word lyrics about just quit holding on. How many of y'all were raised to the point where, well, you just got to hold on to God? I mean, just, Dan, pretend you're under that and I'm God. Kind of grab a hold of me and just hold tight. Don't let go now. Better get the other hand. All right, now, this song says, let go and just be held. All right, it's hard to do this, but he's going to do it. Let go. And here's God. You see, you let go, but he's right there. Quit trying to hold on. I love that. I love this man, too, even though I pick on him. Give him a hand. Wow. You know, when you hear a song like this, if you're not going through a difficulty or a trial right now, your mind kind of goes back to one. And I never will forget that little angel back there who's growed up on us. We were about to lose her. Most of you know the story about 3 years ago when they took her out of her home. And anyway, we thought we would never see her again, possibly. And we raised her half of her, or 60% of her life from birth. And here somebody's coming to take her away. And I told my wife, I said, kind of experienced that. I said, if there's ever a time we've got to trust God, I said, it's right now. I said, we can't fix this. And of course, God intervened and did something powerful in his timing. But he came in and now she's adopted and she's ours forever, whether she likes it or not back there, Angel. Sometimes she might not like that, I don't know. Today, I'll be preaching on a topic that's all too familiar with us, and that's basically dealing with trials, difficulties, and should it really surprise us that we're going to go through difficulties and even persecution? Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, he said, all who live godly lives will suffer persecution. We know trials and difficulties are a part of life, but yet many times we walk through them in anguish, we walk through them worried to death, we walk through them with a severe lack of peace, don't we? Because I believe we really don't understand what God is up to. But I believe that we can walk through trials and difficulties with joy and with peace. You know how I know that? Because I see it in Scripture. I see Paul did it in this passage today in Acts chapter 16, where we will be. If you would notice in Acts chapter 16, I'm going to read a few verses here in the beginning, and then we'll back up and talk about it. Let's start at verse number 16, Christine. Now it happened, as we went to pray, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Here we have a young girl who has the ability to tell fortunes that's orchestrated of Satan and demons, and the guy that owned this girl was making money. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. I'm thinking, well, what's wrong with that? That's what they were doing. But they were doing it in a way that was condescending, it was disruptive, and so forth. And she did this for many days, verse 18 says. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. By the way, when you're annoyed by your wife, men, don't turn and say that to them, okay? That's not the best way to get her to shut up, okay? And Lord, I'm getting in trouble before I even begin. Yeah, I am. And he came out that very hour, and the demon came out that very hour, verse 19. But when her masters saw that her hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. Some are saying that about Grace Cafe Church kind of people. These people are exceedingly bringing trouble to our, quote, way we've been thinking in the past about Jesus and God. And therefore, you're going to see persecution come. So just a practical application there. Verse 21, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us. Hey, they're teaching things that their grandmama didn't teach them. Right. Y'all know where I'm going. right? Being Romans to receive or observe. Verse 22. Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Wow. Now, I know that they walked through joy because I've read the rest of the chapter, that we're going to read a lot of it here in a minute. But what are some keys, what are some key things that we see here that will help you walk as Paul and Silas did? I'm telling you, as I said, if you're not in a difficult situation now, it's coming. Life just has that way of doing that, right? But here are some keys to walking with joy. We all walk through trials. But do you want to walk through them in discouragement, with no hope, or do you want to walk through trials and difficulties with your head held high, looking unto Christ, saying, you know what, you really are in control here. I don't know what you're doing right now, but you are my healer, you are my provider, you are my salvation to save me from whatever is going on, whatever it might be. But I pray the Holy Spirit will embed these truths in your heart and mind right now. All right, the first one is to understand God allows trials to accomplish His purpose. Now, I didn't say God sent them. God didn't send these evil people and say, go sick old Paul. No, but God didn't stop it. Therefore, He allowed it. Do you understand? And I'm telling you, I tell you, when something even as bad as this angel situation happened to me years ago, and I was, Charles Stanley, I was very thankful. He was teaching that, you know, some of these principles here. And I tell you, I said, Lord, this didn't surprise you, what's happened here. And I'd also studied Genesis chapter 50, where Joseph, you know, he had become Pharaoh, and his brothers came, and he finally revealed himself to Joseph and his brothers, and the brothers were scared to death. He's the most powerful man under Pharaoh in all the world, and he can have our heads in just a second with his word. They were fearful for their life. And he said something to them in Genesis 50, I believe it's verse 20, right in that neighborhood. He said, yes, brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring me to the place where I am right now to save many people. You see, yes, they meant evil. These guys here that beat Paul and Silas, they meant evil. But you see, God had a bigger plan. Listen, what are you going through right now? What is the big obstacle, the big wall that you do not see over? I'm telling you, this message will change your life right now if you'll let it. And you'll see that obstacle as a possibility when you place it in God's hands and you let go. Quit trying to fix it. Quit trying to fix it. Understand that God's got a plan and a purpose. Pray that to the Lord. Say, God, I don't know what you're doing here, but you've got a plan and purpose right now, and you're going to turn this into good, Romans 8:28, you see. And back to Paul's situation in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, just a few verses before this, and 2 weeks ago we preached where Paul was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that? From going to Asia. The Holy Spirit sent him to Macedonia, which is basically kind of in the Europe direction, right? So God stopped him from going in this direction and sent him to where? Did God not know they were going to beat him and throw him into prison? You see what I'm saying? God had a bigger purpose in mind, and He knew Paul and Silas were going to be beaten because God knows everything from the beginning to the end. You say, how does He do that? He's God, we're not. That's how. They were following God's purpose and plan where God led them. So this mentality sometimes, even from some grace preachers that I've heard, that, well, you just believe by faith that nothing evil is going to harm you. I'm telling you, that's not what it says. It says nothing evil will prosper. You see, the thing that's coming against you that might be of Satan is not going to prosper when you place it back in God's hands. Because you see, He's going to turn this thing around. That's what you've got to believe. But preacher, nothing good can come from what I'm going through. Well, friends, this is where faith comes in. Human understanding says there's no light at the end of this tunnel. There's nothing good that can come from this situation. Well, hey, in the flesh hands, that's exactly right. But you're not in the flesh hands. You're in God's hands. And He can do whatever He wants to. He can flip things around in a second, can't He? So the first step, in my opinion, is to stop and think, God, you've got a purpose here. Number two, choose to trust God even when you don't understand. It's a choice. Trust is a choice. I've been told most of my life that, well, trust is earned. Well, no, that's somewhat true, but I'm telling you, trust is a choice. I was in a situation one time, in a close family situation, and I had no reason to trust them. There wasn't a track record. How many of y'all begin to trust when you see a track record? I've had to take the stance that I choose to trust right now, and I'm not going to worry about this situation. Trust is a choice. And I'm not talking about a person. I'm talking about God. Can you trust Him even when you don't understand? Yes, you can. Well, you see, you need to slap that well down. Take that thought captive and say, I choose to trust God. Many of you need to pray that right now, or whatever you're dealing with. You need to stop and say, Lord, I'm tired of worrying. Because you see, when you're worrying, you're not trusting. Now, we can trust a little more and worry a little less, and we can worry a little more and trust a little, but yet God wants you totally trusting Him. And I'm telling you, that takes an act of God in your thinking and in your mind. You have to choose to do that. See if you see this in the life of Paul in verse 25. Look at this. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I thought, my goodness, is this verse out of context? Did y'all read verse 24? In 23, they said they had beaten them and thrown them into prison and locked them in the innermost part of the prison. I thought, surely verse 25 is out of context. They couldn't be doing that. Yes, they can. Because, you see, this is supernatural Holy Spirit power living through them right where they were. They were not out of prison yet. They were still shackled, but yet God gave them a peace that passes all understanding. Wow. They were singing and praising God. What would your response be? Just curious. You're beaten, thrown into prison. What? Woe is me? Come on, what else? As a preacher, I'd been saying, Lord, here I am. I've given up my full-time job to go preach the gospel. That church ain't paying me a dime down there. I'm just talking from Paul's angle. And here, I'm being thrown into prison just for preaching you? Oh, my Lord, what are you doing? I'd be questioning God, too. Wouldn't that know what we're doing? I'd certainly be fussing and fuming about the authorities and those that allowed this kind of thing to go on. What kind of country do we live in? Isn't there a lot of that going on right now? Wow. Where's our focus when we do that? It's on the problems. It's in the flesh. But you see, we don't see the big picture as God sees it. You say, preacher, yeah, that's easy for you to say it. You ain't walking through anything. I know that, but I've been where you are if you're in a difficult situation. We all have been. I'm telling you, you've got to choose by faith to say, Lord, you're up to something here. You're working even when I don't see it, and I choose to trust you. Trust is a choice. You see, Paul knew this. That suffering that God was going to bring His purpose to fruition through whatever was going on. And I'm telling you, if you really believe that in the midst of a difficulty, it'll give you power to walk through that difficulty. They knew that God was going to bring glory to Himself in the midst of that. And that understanding led to them choosing to trust in God. I did find a verse that kind of fit this situation in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. Peter said, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. I believe what he's saying here, not be ashamed, means to stand tall, that even though I don't understand, even though I'm hurting at times, I grab those thoughts and I take them captive in the name of Jesus Christ, and I say, Lord, you're up to something here, and I want you to be magnified in the midst of this difficulty, because people are certainly watching us, right? Paul understood what Peter meant, that they maintain God's perspective and not their human perspective. And maybe begin to put this in a form of prayer. God, I believe that you have my best interests at heart. Lord, I trust that you're in control. Lord, you've got my back, even when I don't see it. Amen. And I trust you, and that's what I'm going to focus on. And I'm telling you, there's power in that. There's power. Look at this quote. It's in your outline and menu as well. God wants to take yours and mine perceived problem and turn it into a powerful possibility. Pray that prayer to the Lord. That leads me to the third point of persevering through trials. Number three, choose to focus on God's love for you and watch for the miracles. Now, I didn't say step up your works. The law system in my previous past teaching would say, well, I guess God sent that your way to straighten you out. I guess I being punished for some sin. Wow. I've forgotten how bad that even sounds and feels. But that's what I used to think. Well, God's going to get that tithe somehow. You don't pay the church? Well, look out for the car to break down. Look out. Am I right? Y'all know you were raised under that too. That is so of the law. We're not under that anymore. Don't step up your works for the Lord. I think I shared this before. We were working on this building right before we opened, and some guy came by and saw us in here doing construction, and he said, could you use some help? And I said, well, we're okay right now. And he said, well, I might even want to volunteer. He said, I know I've lost my job because I quit going to church. Wow. You see, what's that a picture of? That's the law system at work. I'm not doing enough, therefore I'm not getting God's blessings. That's not what we're under anymore. All right, choose to focus on God's love for you and watch for miracles. Now watch this. As Paul and Silas were singing and praising to God, were they focusing on what they got to do when they get out of there? No, they were focusing on the Lord and how much He loved them, you see. The focus was on God's love for them and not what they do. Now, as they began to focus on God's love for them, they now are setting their minds and their focus to begin to have that peripheral vision to see and look and expect God's miracles. I tell you one miracle I'd be looking for right then. I was chained and stopped and my back hurting where they beat me, and I'd been looking for a miracle to get out of there, wouldn't y'all? I see at least four miracles in the upcoming verses. Actually, one of them we've already seen in verse 25. Miracle number one, Paul and Silas were rejoicing in the Lord. Hey, that's a miracle. I'd have been whining to the Lord. I'd have been, why me? What did I do to deserve this? Oh, my goodness. They probably prayed, Lord, may... This would be a good prayer in the midst of your difficulty that's got you consumed right now. You ready? Lord, may my behavior in this storm point people to Jesus Christ. Wow. Would that change how you talk to people? You see, while they were being beaten and chained up, Paul broke out singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. I bet the guards were saying, what did he say? I know that's what happened because that's what we're fixing to read about. They were astonished. Ephesians 5:19, Paul said this, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There is power in verbalizing the Word of God to yourself and to others. Especially when you put it to a song, because it gets you in your head, don't it? Look at Isaiah 26:3. This would be a great verse for you to focus on in the midst of the difficulty. God will keep him, say, God will keep me, say it with me. God will keep me in perfect peace when my mind is stayed on him. Hey, did that say step up your works? Step up your actions, step up your serving, step up your trying to quit sinning. That's not what it says. I tell you, there's power in this verse. Because I trust in God. Wow. Now, let's jump back to Acts 16, verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone high-fived and praised God, because the chains were loosed. That's miracle number two. The earthquake shook the chains off and the doors were open. Wow. You see, when you start trusting and quit trying to fix the situation, God goes to work. I think we said this the other week. Joseph Prince, I think, said this. When we work, God's at rest. But when you're at rest, that's when you give God permission to go to work. Not that he needs your permission. But that seems to be what happens. When we trust and rest in the fact that God's got this, he begins to unleash his power. Wow. When our prayers go from, oh Lord, I don't deserve this, I promise to do better, and we get out of that old covenant mentality and we begin to say, Lord, you know what? This didn't take you by surprise. I understand that you've got a purpose. I choose to trust you even when I don't understand. And God, may Jesus be magnified in my life, in my behavior, in the midst of this. Wow. You see, the church at Galatia was trying to go back to the old covenant system. They thought their blessings and their healing, even their salvation, all was dependent on what they did. They thought their miracles was dependent upon them stepping up their behavior. And Paul made a powerful statement in Galatians chapter, I got it blocked here, 3 verse 5. He asked this question. He said, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, here's the question. Does he do this through the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You see, the old covenant says, I've got to work, I've got to stop this, I've got to start that, and now God's going to bless me just because I'm a good little boy. Now you say, Lord, your healing in my body is not dependent upon me, period. Lord, you're fixing this relational issue. You're fixing this financial problem. My blessings, Lord, I'm looking to Christ's obedience and not my own. And I choose to trust you. You see, miracles in your life come when you quit trying and start trusting and believing God apart from what you're doing. Wow. When you quit focusing on the problem and start looking to the possibilities. That's what we're saying. Then we might see another miracle. How about number 3? The unbelievers were amazed. Wow. Verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. By the way, the reason he was about to do that, because the penalty for allowing a prisoner to escape was death. He said, I'm going to save them the trouble. I'll just get it over with now. But the story doesn't end here. How many people are so discouraged, ready to end it? And maybe, your problem, your difficulty, your situation is going to orchestrate you coming in beside of somebody that maybe you say, you know what, yes, this is going on right now, but my trust is not in doctors, my trust is not in my job, my boss giving me a raise, my whatever. My trust is in Jesus Christ, and I have a peace that passes all understanding. God might be using this problem to put you supernaturally with somebody else that's an unbeliever. Do you see that here? This guy was about to kill him. He was so down and depressed, he was about to kill himself. Verse 28, but Paul called with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. I bet that blew his socks off, didn't it? Then it says the prisoner guard called for a light and ran in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wow. Had he not been beaten and thrown into prison, he would not have been in that providential place at that point in time. You see, Paul and Silas could have scattered. That's what you and I'd have done, wouldn't we? Doors swung open. I'd have been saying, "Now there's a miracle of God. I've been praying for it. The prayer chains in 10 churches have been praying for it. And man, God did it." We'd been out of there. High-fiving the whole time. But now listen. Compassion for an unbelieving jailer constrained Paul and Silas not to do that. Wow. How would they have even thought that? My focus wouldn't have been on that jailer or nothing. I'm telling you, he was walking in the Spirit of God, and the Spirit, he had a peace, and he was listening. Sometimes when we're so worried and anxious, we can't hear God. We're so upset. We're calling everybody, and we're doing all this stuff. And I'm telling you, we're missing out on what God's up to when we do that. But he was listening to the Lord. He said, "God, you got a plan here." And when the door swung open, the shackles fell off, he just sat there. Why? Because God's Spirit was leading him to say, let's just hang out. Hey, wait a minute, Silas. Silas was probably ready to go, or Paul was, one of them. But the other said, "No, wait a minute. Something's going on here." You see, God had that unbeliever in mind. The one that had beaten, possibly been in on beating him, and that was jailer over his adversity. God wants to turn right around and save him. I wouldn't want him saved, would y'all? Somebody beating you, fussed you out, young people at school, and been mean to you, would you want them to be saved in that moment? Probably not. You'd want to just take them a little further down. They don't deserve it. Wow. Look at this powerful statement. When an unbeliever sees you at rest and peace in the midst of a terrible situation, they're seeing God's love and grace. However, they usually see the opposite, don't they? At least I'm just telling you from my experience. Miracle number 4. The jailer and his household were saved and baptized. Wow. The jailer was spellbound. This guy that we just beat was in there praising and singing. See, the jailer had heard this. And now that God did a miracle and shook the doors open, the shackles off, and they didn't even leave. They went in, just said, bowed down, said, "What must I do to be saved?" Well, look at what happened in verse 31. "So they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour." The prison guard, by the way, his behavior changed totally. He took them out of there, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. What's going on in your life? What's your problem? Is it really a problem? I believe it's a powerful possibility. If you knew someone might be saved as a result of your problem, your difficulty, tied to your walking in peace and rest in the midst of this, which basically is talking about your behavior. People accuse grace preachers of, "Well, they don't talk about people's behavior. They just talk about Jesus." No, talking about Jesus leads to a change of behavior, right? I'm telling you, you can't orchestrate behavior that Paul exhibited here. You can't orchestrate that in the flesh, can you? I don't think I could. That's as of God. But if you knew somebody might be saved, if you could change your perspective and change your actions, which God will change your actions, if you knew somebody would be saved, would that make a difference? and how you walked through that difficulty. Number one, you might start out by understanding God will use your situation for His purpose. You might choose to trust God even when you don't understand. Say, Lord, I praise You in advance for what You're doing and how You're going to bring glory, even though I can't see it right now. And number three, you might choose to focus on God's love for you instead of what you're going to do for God. Then, I believe, you're going to start seeing some miracles. I really do. Here's the discussion questions. What are some keys to walking through adversities and difficulties with joy and peace? Number two, what are some things God accomplishes in the midst of your difficulties or trials? What are some keys to walking through adversities and difficulties with joy and peace?
I'll kind of answer both one and two at the same time. The best word to say is love. And I can't tell you, in the last 2 months, it's been rough at work for me because there's been a lot of change and power struggle with people above me and stuff. So it's been fun trying to deal with those people as they come in and you're trying to learn their new sights for your future. No matter what, when I come home every day, I might sit in 2 hours of traffic on 85 or I-20, so I'm frustrated, I'm hot. As soon as I open that door and Diana hands me Liam, you know, it's love. I see him, immediately it takes me over, then I see her, and then ultimately I see God, I see Jesus in them, and then it also reveals it in myself. And that's also the answer for number two. I mean, when you're going, what are some things that God accomplishes while you're in your low? You know, we all praise God when we're at our high, when everything's going right, but when we're in our low, it's basically God revealing Himself in you to others. So if you're going through trials and tribulations, and you still have a sense of joy, a sense of peace, and people are like, I know you're going through the gutter right now. How can you still have a smile?
Right.
And that's God revealing Himself through right. you to them. And ultimately, people start to see Jesus in themselves.
Amen.
If they're like, if Brett's having this hard of, I mean, even my coworkers are like, Brett's having this hard time at work, and he's still going, happy-go-lucky guy, still approachable, he's not angry. He should be angry. He should be upset about something. And ultimately, people see that. So,
that's
honestly,
right.
Number one, the one word would be love, and two would be God revealing Himself to others through you with His love.
Good word. And by the way, you can orchestrate this happy-go-lucky look for a little while in the flesh, but people will read right through it. I'm telling you, it goes back to realizing how much God loves you. You're so saturated in it. That's what we're doing on Sunday morning, right, Philip? And Dan's group, I mean, they're wherever you're at listening, you need to be saturated, because that saturation will empower you when the bottom and the rug's jerked out from under you, that there's just an underlying peace. You ain't got to fake it, you know. There are times, I believe, to maybe put on a smile when you know it ain't really a smile, but ultimately, that's why I'm saying you can do that in the flesh, but when you're so full of Christ and He's so full of you, He's full of you, by the way. He loves you, and He's so proud of you in the midst of your worst sin. He's still so proud of you. And if you don't know that, that inner joy and grace won't well out and flow over to other people, I don't believe, in the difficult times. So I'll be quiet. Who else?
I thought something else that was neat, was that it was more of an outward showing as well of that joy, because they were singing and praising and teaching, and in that, the other prisoners saw. So, because, I mean, it makes sense that when the earthquake happened that Paul and Silas didn't jump up and run. They were men of God. They knew they had been studying, they had been learning, and they were there to preach the gospel. There was a purpose for them being there in the first place.
Right.
But why didn't the other prisoners get up and run as well? They didn't, because there had been atmosphere that was created from God flowing through Paul and Silas as they worshiped there as well. So that atmosphere kept the other prisoners in place.
They were in a church meeting, right?
Right, they were in a church meeting. So then the process of that saves the guard, right?
Wow.
And his family.
Right.
And then magistrates sent for them to be told to go, to leave, because they were obviously frightened because they were seeing this miracle have happened, and they were afraid it would get back out into the town. And when they went to Paul and Silas and said, you know, hey, you guys go ahead and go, release them, they were like, oh, no, wait a second. Beat us in front of everybody.
He's getting into the next passage, but that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. Beat us
in front of everybody. So listen, now you're going to make us leave in front of everybody. Because again, it was another outward showing.
Wow.
It couldn't just be in secret. They didn't want it to just be kept quiet.
That's a cool angle. I thought Paul was trying to rub it in their face.
That would have been my decision.
Yes, right. Yeah. That's good. You're helping me prepare for the next sermon.
You know, one of the things, Brett was over here, and I just so agree with that. It's like one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 26:3. And so sometimes when I'm going through stuff, I'm saying, Father, you said if I keep my heart fixed on you, you'll keep me in perfect peace. So grace me, even when I'm not thinking that way, grace me to keep my eyes fixed on you. You know, so you have your heart fixed on him. You have your heart fixed on how much he loves you. That itself, because of your love for me, I know you're going to take me through this.
Wow.
And the second one is exactly, you know, I had written down exactly what Brett said. You know, what are some of the things that God accomplishes? He is manifesting himself in you and through you, and others are looking on and saying, man, that got to be God.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Instead of seeing the wrath of God, we're seeing God's love. That's what's sweeping this world, this grace revolution that's going on, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think God's tired of being portrayed as some mean guy up there, and he's raising up preachers and teachers and Christians to understand him deeper and fuller. And now that we'll begin to show that through our actions, and some of that, as hard as it might be sometimes, is going to be through the most difficult times. And anybody can look at you high-fiving and praising God when you're not going through anything, right? But it's when the bottom's dropped out and they still see that unconditional love of grace working through you. That's when people take note. So,
probably kind of
hold it closer. Thank
this
you.
Probably seems kind of simple, but this past week I had something to happen. On Tuesday, I take this elderly lady to help her daughter out every other Tuesday to the grocery store and the beauty shop and do her due because she doesn't drive. And so anyway, so then here we are, my car starts acting up. Here I am going down, and I said, uh-oh, we're not gonna eat. I gotta get my car to Roy's Tire and see what's going on. This bell is going off. Ding, 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 you know. And my car is hot. And so I go down, and so then luckily someone at Roy's Tire takes her home. My car cools off, so I go up the street and go to Thomas's garage to get my car seen about and get it fixed. And so anyway, and I thought, you know, why me, Lord, at this time? This is at the end of the month before payday, you know? And it's like, why me? But then after I got it fixed and everything taken care of, and I thought, you know, what a blessing. I've got to go the 15th to Atlanta to pick up someone at the airport. My car's fixed. I feel safe that I'm going to be going to the airport, I-20, Kemp Creek Parkway. And I think, you know what? It was a blessing. The car, something went wrong with the car for me to get it fixed. And so now I feel safe that I'm going to be on the road and not have this problem. The Lord took care of
Amen.
Me.
Amen. Wow.
At
That's
the right,
right.
time,
Amen.
At the right moment.
Amen.
It might not have been at the right time for me to have to sock money into my car, but it
could have been a lot worse.
But it was the right time.
Right.
You know, he looked after me, and I said something so simple, you know,
right.
Just an everyday occurrence that. And I had to say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You know, it happened at the right time for me because I go the 15th, I got to turn around and take her back the 29th. You know, so I'm going to be on the road.
Amen. Good.
And, you know, it's
a long way from home.
And, you know, when you're single, you know, some things, it is a trial to get through a lot of things when you are single, you know,
right.
And you try to do everything by yourself
right.
and hang on, you
right.
know.
Right.
But I said, you know, when I go to bed at night, me and my pups, who are like my kids, and you know, and I said, you know, Lord, you know that we are here. We know that I know that you're going to watch over us. You're the one that's going to keep us safe and free from harm.
Amen.
And I just want to say thank you for being there for me and my pups and for all of those others.
Amen.
Keep up doing your job and taking care of us.
We had a similar situation. We had, Gail and I had gone to the Grace Walk, or one of Steve McVeigh's Beyond an Angry God conference, just a month or so ago. We're in Atlanta. We were going to spend the night that night, and the car broke down. But I was right where I could curve. I was off the interstate. It was downhill a little bit. I had to do a little pushing, but I had Gail get in there. We were at a red light. She was driving it into a parking lot. The business was closed. And we immediately thought what she said, that we were going on vacation to Florida, a lot further away. I know that's Atlanta, but, you know, $100-something, I had the tow truck come get it. We rented a car, turned it back in right here. So same kind of thing. We said, thank you, Lord, that this happened now and not later. And so just, he's up to so much more than what we could ever imagine. So, okay.
Carlton, when we talked last week about the price that God paid for us was our value, and that was, our value was the life of Jesus. That's the worth he saw for us. The scripture came to me this week, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And Diana talked about, I never really thought what that joy was. Well, I guess we thought it was his obedience to the Father that was the joy, but the real joy was his relationship with us.
Mm.
That he endured the cross and despised the shame for the joy that was set before him, and that was buying us back.
Wow.
And that Paul and Silas, in that situation, focused on the joy of that relationship that they had with the Father, or with Jesus, the same as Jesus focused on his relationship that he knew he was buying with us. So it's keeping our focus on him and not on what's going on around us.
That's right.
Just like Jesus did, that took him through the beating and the cross.
That's right.
Crucifixion.
Awesome. Okay. Anyone else? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for just encouraging us in the midst of difficulties, or you're preparing us when they do come. That, Father, we can walk into joy and peace that only you can give. And Lord, it's got to come from the inside out. It can't be a faked joy, a fake smile. It's ultimately cultivated internally as we realize how much we are valued by you, how much you love us, how much you've already forgiven us, how much that we're in you and what that means. And that's all a part of this grace teaching. And Father, just continue to grow us and mature us in your love and in your understanding. And Father, that will just take over when we're not even trying, when the bottom drops out. And God, you'll ultimately reveal that genuine peace and joy to other people that begins to see you in a whole new light, that this God really does care about me. And that's ultimately what we want to see happen. Is that people come to the place where they say, yes, Lord, we believe on you and we trust you as Savior and Lord. And just reveal yourself strongly this week through us in Jesus' name. Amen.